everybody, and welcome to January's edition of the Pitching In NPL show for the year 2022. A belated Happy New Year, one and all. And joining me now to discuss the second half of the season and what we've got coming up in the next few months or so in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, we've got James Hayes, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. Hello, James.
Good evening.
Tim Ells here, non-league reporter from Cheshire.
I am here. Hello.
Berkey's here, everyone, from 26-0.
Hello, Ben.
And joining us using the local pub Wi-Fi from Coastal County Radio, it's Paul Connolly. Hello, Paul.
How are we doing, lads? All right.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Let's get this show underway and talk about the top of the table. Who should I come to you first? Simo, I'll come to you first, as it's become tradition. It's like, oh, who should I come to you first? I feel like I'm doing favouritism there. Paul, I'm going to come to you. Matlock Town and South Shields leading the way. Is it a two-horse race now for the remainder of the season? Or are Buxton and Bamber Bridge and Scarborough and Whitby, Warrington, FC, all still involved? Are they all still involved? What's your thoughts on the title race as we head towards February?
I mean, first things first, I don't talk about Buxton anymore, because the last time I said they were going to win the league, I bought the kiss of death on them, and I think they lost five on the bounce. So, I'm not going to talk about Buxton. It's one of those things. I think it's going to be a two-horse race? Looking at it now, I said a month ago that Buxton were the favourites. They aren't anymore. Obviously, I would say South Shields are. And I think it's going to be South Shields that win it, and then the best of the rest. And looking at it, it's a very tight race to be that best of the rest at the moment. Obviously, Buxton had that little bad run of form. Bamber Bridge, very hit and miss. Scarborough have put a decent run together, but not a brilliant result for them at the weekend against Witten. But of course, that's somewhere they seem to never go and win, and actually never have gone and won. And Whitby have just sort of hit form again. So yeah, it's going to be interesting race to be the best of the rest. But I think South Shields will be the one of those two to win it. But I think Matlock will push them quite close.
It's just a shame what happened last weekend with that box office game up at Mariners Park between South Shields and Matlock, the game getting postponed, because that would have been dynamite, wouldn't it? But Simo, you've seen Matlock and South Shields recently. What's your thoughts on these two in particular?
I was going to say what you just did, that we were kind of thwarted a proper examination of Matlock's title credentials at the weekend, because I think if they'd come through that game with a positive result, they would have been in a fantastic position. They're still in a brilliant position, by the way. I have seen them, and it's clear why they win so many games. They've got a little bit of everything, but they must be one of the most physically imposing teams I've seen in recent seasons playing at this level. But one thing that continues to impress about Matlock, and they've done this time and again this season, is how they respond to setbacks. So they had that defeat against Stafford Rangers, and since then, the next six games, they've won five and drawn one, and that's been the theme of their season. They don't seem to kind of be knocked too much by a defeat, and they then go and put another run together, and that's what's put them in a brilliant position. I thought it was also really interesting in the past fortnight that they'd entered the transfer market in a really aggressive way and signed three attacking players, Marcus Marshall, Terry Hawkridge, and Jack Hindle, although Jack Hindle's a little bit off being ready to play from the start just yet. But I thought that was really interesting. They've shown their hand that they think this is the year that they've got the best chance of getting promoted, to go and make signings like that in the middle of the season, pay a fee for Marshall and Hawkridge. I'm not going to say statement of intent, because I think they're trying to get promoted anyway. But I think to do that shows that they sense this is the moment to get promoted. And it's a massive, massive week. They've got two home games against Grantham and Lancaster, and they'd expect to take 6 points. And South Shields' next two games are against Buxton and away to Morpeth. So yes, they're very close at the moment, but it'd be really interesting in 10 days' time to see if the gap is still 3 points.
And another thing as well, Simo, is that they're not going to be frightened of South Shields. Everyone else goes up there and like, oh, blimey, you know, we might be in for a bit of a pasting today. But Matlock, there's no pressure on them, I don't think. I think it's really, really all on South Shields. They've been so close. Well, they were so close, weren't they, before the season got curtailed the other year. And pretty sure, you know, with their recent change in manager, the idea at South Shields is they have to get out of this division this season. So all the pressure's on them. Whereas Matlock, they're just playing to their strengths. You know, whacking up to Liam Hughes, hitting the channels, and Marcus Marshall's going to help with that. Plenty of pace down the flank.
Perke, just talking about the managerial change at South Shields, Kevin Phillips has had a really good start. And in the post-match interview after Witten, he says, hopefully this will, I'm going to word it politely, keep the criticisers quiet from now on. I mean, it's a tough job that he's got, but it's a good squad he's got as well.
Yeah, it is, and something that might surprise you with South Shields is, I mean, they're well known for their attacking prowess, or they have been over the last few seasons, but they've actually got the best defence in the division this year. But at the other end of the pitch, Cedric Main starting to score. He went seven starts without finding a net since he joined from FC United, but he's scored 2-2 since Kevin Phillips has come in. So maybe he's finding a new lease of life there, but they've got such a difficult month coming up. They've got to go to Buxton, they've got to go to Morpeth in the first two games of February. And I'm not saying this is make or break for him, but I think they've really got to put a marker down.
And James, just a logistical question. When is the Matlock South Shields match going to get rearranged for? Because that's the big question now, isn't it?
As the league rules go, it's got to be played within the next 42 days. So it's probably, looking at what we're fixing this at the moment, you're going to be looking at mid-March-ish, really. So the box office match we all promised might not even be there. Because again, a couple of weeks ago, if Buxton hadn't gone on their little poor form, this weekend coming would have been talking first v second with themselves there.
I'd argue, James, this match this week is still pretty big. But who decides when the match gets rearranged? Is it the league or the hosts?
The clubs themselves get discussion, but we'll poke them if it's getting to the point of 42 days.
If you were Matlock or South Shields, when would you prefer to have this game played? As soon as possible? Or if you're South Shields, would you like to get this hectic period out of the way first? And then,
well, it's going to have to be a Tuesday night. So
yeah, if I was a Matlock, anyone from a Matlock persuasion, I'd be saying anything but a midweek, but it's obviously going to be, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we mentioned the top two there. Let's talk about Buxton. Paul, I'll do a come to you because you've already said you don't want to upset Buxton any further. okay, I'll come to Burke because obviously Buxton recently played Hyde United. I know it's a sore subject, but you did see them.
Yeah.
And it's your own fault because it was at Ewan Fields. If it was at Silverlands, I wouldn't have asked you.
Hang on, I went to Silverlands.
Oh,
I always go to Buxton.
Sorry, yeah. It's on the train route, isn't it? what do you think of Buxton? Because how important is that win over Hyde United?
Well, they'd gone six games without a win. They'd lost five. I mean, you couldn't see it coming. I know they lost Diego in that. They still had enough quality in that squad to pick up results, but it weren't so much at the top end of the pitch where they were struggling. It was more at the back. They started to get a bit leaky. Cunny's dipped into the transfer market, brought in his old pal Dan Cowan from Chester. He used to manage him when he was at Curzon Ashton. And I get the feeling he's going to settle in quite nicely. Josh Granite's dropped down to the bench as well, but they've got so much experience at the back. Matt Curley, for me, best right back in the league. Plenty going forward, good defender too. And it's bizarre, this run they've gone on. I can't quite fathom why it's happened. I know they've had a few injuries and whatnot, but the depth you'd think would still be there. Maybe they've just not had the rubber to green. I don't know.
The club you support has been on FA Cup runs. It is difficult once you've been knocked out of the FA Cup, once the TV cameras have left, to find the thread again.
Yeah, it happened with Hyde as well. Not to the extent that it happened with Buxton, really, but certainly for three or four games afterwards, it was really tricky for the Tigers to get back into the stride. But something else that's going to go against them is that Tommy Elliott's going to be out for the next three games. He got sent off for something daft on Saturday. So kind of not helping themselves in that regard, but they're still good enough. And they're not out of the title race, you know, Ben. They're really not. If they can regain a bit of that form that they had in the early part of the season, they're going to be right back in it. They've got a perfect chance on Saturday.
Burkett, that's why I've included them in this discussion about
the title race. Yeah, exactly. Because you're a very sensible man, Ben. Exactly. I've always said that. I've said it to everybody.
Simo, can Buxton still get themselves back involved? And how important is this weekend, really, to decide that? If that's not too dramatic.
It's not very often I disagree with Berkey, but Matlock win their game in hand. They'll be 10 points clear of Buxton. Buxton ain't making up 10 points over Matlock between now and the end of the season.
Do you not think Matlock are capable of dropping them 10 points, though?
No, for the reason I've said earlier, when they lose a game, they go on a run and win the next four or five. They've done it all season.
Here's the other thing as well. if it was a two-horse race between Buxton and Matlock, then 10 points heading into February, is you can overcome that. But is it because the odds are doubled, aren't they, because of South Shields being there too? It's like another team who's got the potential, so your chances are halved.
Yeah, maybe. I just think that, you know, the timing of the run that they've been on is a disaster for them. If you'd lose two or three, but they've lost, you know, losing five games is a disaster. And it might get worse if they lose to South Shields on Saturday, which is perfectly possible. They can't afford to lose on Saturday because the title is gone. And then they've got to make sure that they finish in the playoffs. And you know, we're going to come on to that. But that's a bun fight at the moment as well. So Buxton need to really be careful. I mean, it's going to be fascinating in the next few weeks. I was talking to Mark Crothers about this earlier this week about who's going to be vindicated for changing their manager. Will South Shields be vindicated by making a quite brave decision to remove Graham Fenton? Buxton making the change that they made? And a bit further down the table, could Morpeth's change of manager prove to be an absolute genius masterstroke? So it's going to be really interesting to see which chairman are vindicated in the next couple of months. I think that's a theme in the background.
The big one with Buxton there as well is how quick Jason Gilchrist can get involved. I mean, he's obviously scored his first goal for him over the last weekend. But if you look at the fixture list there, Buxton have got a generally favourable game list coming up after the South Shields. So if Gilchrist can get up and running quick as possible, that's, again, that's the replacement for Diego Girolamo. We know for a fact he did it at South Shields.
Yeah, FC before that, and he looked sharp on Saturday. It just seemed a bit bizarre that he'd not scored in the seven games leading up to it. You know, he was just missing by inches, you know. But yeah, it eventually went in, and the second goal that he scored was brilliant, by the way.
Let's talk about Buxton are looking up. They're also looking over the shoulder. And one of the teams they're looking at, and one of the people they're looking at, is Paul Connolly. I'm going to go to Paul now. Paul, this race for the playoffs, oh, what do you think? What do you think as a Whitby Town fan? What's possible?
It's absolutely anybody's, isn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, you look at Bamber Bridge, they didn't have a brilliant result, did they, against Stalybridge, obviously losing 2-0 there. Scarborough at the weekend, they drew 2-2 with Witten, but looking at Scarborough's form at the minute, they are a favourite to get in that playoff mix, because obviously since Buxton absolutely battered them 5-1, they've only lost one game since, and that's nearly 2 months now. They've gone through a fairly tricky January, and they've come through unbeaten. So for me, they're now the favourites to cement themselves in that playoff mix. But I mean, don't forget, Whitby did their very, very weird thing that they always do this. They will go through a month where they have winnable games. In this case, Whitby, it was Lancaster was a winnable game, and then Atherton, both at home, both winnable games, and they lost both of them. And then they go to Hyde and win 2-1. They go to FC United and Manchester and win 4-3. And then they get a draw with Warrington. So they get 7 points from probably the three trickier games of the month, and then keep themselves right in that mix. So it just goes to show that you don't have a clue what's going to happen with it. But at the moment, Scarborough definitely the favourites, and then it's going to be a straight out battle between Bamber Bridge, Whitby and Warrington, I'd have thought, and maybe FC United and Manchester as well, because I've seen maybe enough of them to say that, yeah, they've got a chance.
Birke, Paul's right about the form Scarborough's got, and Simo is right, you know, about Matlock and South Shields and their potential to just carry on progressing and winning. But I've got Echo and the Bunnymen in my mind. And nothing ever lasts forever. Ian McCulloch was right, wasn't he? And this race is going to be decided by the team who just comes into form at the right time.
Hey, welcome to the world of football. It's what happens all the time. Isn't it? Remember, they've got to beat Hyde on Saturday, first of all, Scarborough. They've got a big bonus in the Coulson. Michael Coulson's coming back. He's been out injured for 3 months. He was on the bench against Witten the other day. But Luke Colville, what a signing he's been since he's been there. I mean, he's played, he started 11 games, scored 8 goals, and he's just contributed so much, and he's been a real catalyst for the club this last few months. I really, really rate him, and it's going to be, you know, this run they've gone on, they've not been playing against the teams down the bottom either for most of it. You know, they've done well against Matlock and Buxton, they played well against Warrington and Morpeth. They've been right up there. The only team that's beaten them, South Shields. So Scarborough, where this run's come from, I can only assume it's through Luca Colville joining the club and just changing the way they play slightly, and it just seems to be working a treat for them. But form is temporary, as we all know, and every single team has a good run at some stage. Every single team has a bit of a stinking run at some stage, and it, as you quite rightly say, Ben, can they carry it on? That was your question in the first place to me, weren't it? I've just gone around the houses for 2 minutes. Yeah.
No,
I think they can.
Obviously, Tuesday night next week is Scarborough against Whitby. So that's as it is at the moment, fifth versus sixth. I'm very interested to see how that game goes, because Whitby are starting to find a little bit of form again. They're starting to dig results out and have a little bit of battle with teams and come out on top. Warrington on Saturday was a game of two halves in horrendous conditions. The pitch was bobbly, the wind was awful. But obviously the FC United game, Whitby played some fantastic stuff on. It wasn't a brilliant pitch at FC United, but it was a pitch that Whitby could play on, with players like Malik Dykstale, Harry Green, really creating the play and causing a lot of problems for FC United. And obviously that turnaround at Hyde as well, it was smash and grab, let's be honest. Having watched the game back, it was smash and grab for Whitby. They didn't do the right things at the right times in the game, but in that last 4 minutes of the game, they showed up and they put the ball in the back of the net twice and scored a very rare penalty, because we don't like scoring from 12 yards. But, you know, that game against Scarborough next week is going to be an absolutely massive, massive six-pointer for both sides.
Simo, I was just looking into Echo and the Bunnymen, and apparently Nothing Lasts Forever only got to number 8. And I reckon if they followed Berkey's advice and called the song Form is Temporary, it might have got to number 1. What's your thoughts?
Enjoyed that. Enjoyed that immensely. I'll chip in very briefly on Scarborough after seeing him up close at the weekend. I am amazed at their improvement after seeing Witten knock them out of the FA Cup in October, I think it was, and they were a mess. They were all over the place. And it's amazing to think, we were talking about this at the weekend, that Jono Greening was under massive pressure earlier in the season. You know, they had a really indifferent start. They were really struggling. And to see how much they've improved was quite striking at the weekend. Built on what I would say must be one of the best midfields in the league, with Maloney, Glynn. I mean, Ryan Watson was playing fullback at the weekend, but normally he's in there. That's the key to everything. They're nice and solid defensively. They're always going to be with Bailey Gooder there. And then Jake Day makes a difference up front. He's kind of their Liam Hughes, if that makes sense. He kind of does a similar job for them. And with Coulson coming back to play off him, you can see that they'll score regularly as well. So I think they definitely can last the distance.
Let's talk about Bamber Bridge. Burke, Bamber Bridge, you know, a lot of people would have been expecting them to drop out of the playoffs. Then all of a sudden, they're title contenders. Then they've been caught up by this race for the playoffs again. But they're still, if they string the results together, they could be title contenders. But it's the same as Buxton, really. They have to keep an eye on everyone beneath them.
They're not going to be title contenders, I don't think, Ben. I think, realistically, they're going to be hanging on to the playoffs by the skin of their teeth, if they can do. You look at the evolution of Jamie Milligan's squad this season. At the start, if you compare the squad that they had on Saturday, only three of the players were in the squad in the first game of the season.
Wow.
He's had to bring in an entire new squad as the season's gone on. Incredible.
Isn't that immense? That's immense managerial juggling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I don't know how he's done it. The only person I can think of who's had to do something similar at a similar level is Peter Band, when he was pushing on with Mosley. He had to rebuild his side 3 times in a season because they were doing well. You know, just getting players poached left, right and centre. But you become victims of your own success in that regard. But even so, they're in 4th place, doing brilliantly well. All right, they're on a bit of a iffy run at the moment, but they can pull. If they can pull themselves out of it, they're nailed on for the playoffs. It's just whether they can just regain momentum again. They've brought some great players in too, so we'll see, but I think the jury's out at the moment. But it's not through a lack of trying on Jamie Milligan's part. He's been brilliant.
Now, obviously, if you had the opportunity to bring Baines back, but obviously FA rules don't let you allow players to put back on loan to the same club twice in a season, they'd have jumped at the chance to bring him back and try and get their capability in. But a rebuilding team, especially in a playoff race like this, you don't want to be doing it this time of year. they need to find that form again quick to stay in the playoffs, I think.
I mean, you look at Bamber Bridges' form. They've won two of the last eight games. We were talking about Scarborough earlier, who have lost one since the start of December. Obviously, Bamber Bridge have only won two since the start of December as well.
What's your thoughts on Warrington, Simo?
Warrington, yes, I know they've slipped ever so slightly.
They had two games in hand with three points outside the playoffs.
Yeah, they won't be too concerned. They've had a really tough run, haven't they? They had the game against Buxton where they led three times and you know, would be disappointed not to have won that game. Then they had edged narrowly, weren't they, by South Shields before drawing it at Whitby at the weekend. So it's glass half full, glass half empty. No winning three, but look at the three games that they've had. And like you say, they've got games in hand. So I fully expect them to kick back into a winning run. And I think that'll start this weekend when they host Grantham.
I'll discuss FC United in a second, Paul. But I just want to get your thoughts on Morpeth. Because I've obviously leapt over FC and Stafford there to discuss Morpeth. But they're the outside candidates, aren't they? But they're the ones who everyone's looking at.
Well, like we say, nothing lasts forever in terms of forms, but it feels like Morpeth have just kept going and going ever since they sacked their manager. They don't seem to lose a game in the league, do they, very often? Look, Morpeth, they're very physical, if you aren't up to that sort of game, if you can't get dragged into a battle, which Whitby never did on New Year's Day, Whitby got dragged into a battle and they absolutely folded. So, you know, if you aren't up to the battle, then, you know, you aren't going to win games of football against them. And they're very effective. And they're going to continue to cause a lot of problems in this division in terms of the fact that they're going to beat a lot of very good teams.
Hey, Simo.
Yeah.
I've got two potential candidates for the name of this show this month. Form is temporary, but also Morpeth for Morpeth. I think that's a strong candidate. I don't know about everyone else, but I think that's a good one. Simo. Stafford, yes. They're way above where they have been in recent years. It's a phenomenal season. But the longer it goes on, the longer they stay just about in touch, the more they must think, you know what, we can go for this.
Just about. They draw too many games though, Ben. And that ultimately is what's going to cost them probably finishing the top five. If they can convert one or two of those into victories, then they will keep the flame flickering. And, you know, they are unbeaten in the past seven games, but they've drawn five of them, and that kind of encapsulates beautifully where they're at the moment. Kind of to repeat a theme that's run through the past few monthly shows, if you'd offered them 90 at the start of the season, they might even have laughed. You know, the turnaround is extraordinary. Matt Hill, possibly in the running for manager of the year, if they can continue and they go on to get a top 10, top 8 finish. He's done a brilliant, brilliant job. The other thing that might cost them is their home form. They've only won three games at home this season. I can't see a team that's only won three home games finishing in the playoffs, and nor do they probably deserve to. But I don't want to be a downer. They've done fantastic to be where they are. Nobody predicted it. Probably no one within Marston Road predicted it. And it's an absolute positive success story.
Now, Simo.
Yes.
I'm seeing you Saturday, aren't I?
You certainly are.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right. You did such a good job last month. What would you like to know? This is now time. It's now time for Simo's scouting report. To work out
Ben,
where FC United are going to lie.
But I thought you might ask me this, so I prepared a couple of questions for you.
Goodness
me. How good's that? It's like proper journalism and everything.
Oh, have you got your pencil behind your ear? Please tell me you have.
I would have, but oh. I've got my headphones on, but I am holding my pen. So I'm being very serious now. Okay. Two questions.
Yeah.
Firstly, I wanted to ask you about Regan Linney. And the reason we're asking about him is obviously the announcement that he signed a new contract, which I think is significant. But just touch on that, the evolution of Linney's become a really integral part of this team now and has played several different roles across the front. How important is it for FC to have kept hold of him now for the running?
He's turned into a very mature player on the pitch. He's still got a bit of fire, but he's gone from being a number 11 to a number 9. And it'll be interesting now, FC have got Bange coming to play that number 9 role. What happens now to Linney? Whether he goes back out on the wing or whether he plays more supporting role.
You see, that segues beautifully into question two.
Oh.
See, this, it's almost like I do this for a job. So The signing of Bainge is really interesting, not because he's not going to make a contribution, he's not a talented player, we've already seen that this season, but I was quite surprised to find out that FC United had signed another striker, knowing that Linney has played in that role, knowing that Duckworth's done pretty well.
Yeah, he has, very well.
Is the signing of Bainge, though, an indication that Renault still isn't quite sure what his right combination is up top, or is it he just wants a little bit of extra firepower for the run-in, and any team in the top half of the table that's got a sniff that Bainge has become available again is going to be interested. But what should I read into that? Is Renault still not quite sure on what the right combinations of that three up top he uses?
No, I just genuinely think he's... one, Bainge was available, and you know, I think Neil went, right, let's go get him. And the other thing is, and I'll bring Berkey in at this point as well, is... I think one of the questions Berkey has always had is, are you going to replace Tundy's goals now he's left? And if you look at the goal score column, we're not too far off Matlock and Bamber Bridge, yeah. and not too far off Buxton either. There's goals in FC United's team.
Yep,
and if FC get a proven goal scorer like Ewan Bainge in and FC integrate him, then might be a bit of a masterstroke.
Ben, it's not the goals you've got to worry about, though. It's your defence. You've got the worst defence in the top half of the division.
Yeah.
How many 4-3s and 3-alls can your blood pressure take?
I'm going back to 2019. And just a reminder, Berkey, FC United are here for good time. And if you have to, Paul will tell you, he was at FC a couple of weeks ago. He had a lovely time. And that's what it's all about.
Fantastic. Fantastic, Ben. But also, I would be absolutely, I'd be absolutely panicking about that defence at times. But then again, on the same night, Whitby couldn't defend anything, so it is what it is.
Birkhead, is that it for the playoff race? Or do we go to Lancaster, Atherton and Basford?
No, that's your lot, that.
Okay.
I'd have said yes before last night.
Well, the 1-0 draw for Lancaster and the Ashton defeat for Atherton goals.
I'd have said they maybe had half a chance before last night's results, as we record.
Interesting signing for Lancaster, though, with the goalie who won the Under-17s World Cup. Good to see how he does, I think.
I mean, Lancaster, it's 4 points from a possible six, but I know what you're saying. Would you say as well, James, that Basford getting beat by Morpeth on Saturdays, that's probably Basford?
I think you've got to look at the last couple of weeks for Basford, realistically, to say they were out of the playoff run, because, again, they've just not found form at all. And that's cost them, really.
And they play 29 games as well, which Semis Radcliffe, which is what it is, isn't it? Just before we move towards the bottom end of the table, just a quick word on Morpeth and the FA Trophy. We've got Craig Lynch coming on the show next week to talk about that York match. It's a big game. Simo, your quick thoughts?
Well, given that they've already played them, is it twice this season? Yeah. They should have plenty of intel, and they'll be one of the best prepped going into a cup game for a while. They've got a great chance.
Berkey?
I'm going Morpeth for the win there.
Paul?
Yeah, it's a different York side to the side that they played in the FA Cup earlier in the season. Obviously, Steve Watson left and John Askew's come in as manager. I would still fancy York City at home for that one.
Boo. Who invited Paul, everyone? Who invited Paul? James, your closing thoughts on this before we move to the bottom end of the table?
Play like they did against Boston, they'll go there and win. And let's not forget, though, in the FA Cup, they forced a replay at York City. Mm. Only downside for him is I'm at that game again and my record's not the best, but I go watch him in cup and trophy games. So,
but yeah. there is no replay in this. It's straight to penalties, is it?
Straight to penalties.
And Morpeth have won a penalty shootout already this year, haven't they?
Won a fair few, actually. I think they're pretty good on penalty shootouts. So.
Well, there we go.
Wouldn't it be good if you just had a penalty tournament?
No.
You literally did go straight to penalties.
You're on
as a Whitby fan, definitely not.
No.
Because we've missed more penalties than we've scored this year.
Berkey, you're on a call here with myself and with Paul Connolly. You know, we've commentated on matches over the years. Radio commentating on a penalty shootout is bobbins.
All right, I like it.
I'm with you there.
Oh, it's gone in. He's left-footed. That's a change.
Come on, you're not doing it right. You need to, you know, catchphrase it up a little bit. You know, I can see it now. Edic Pacu, stepping up to take a penalty. He's never taken a penalty in his life. He's a holding midfielder. Best holding midfielder in the league, by the way. Ikpakwu versus Lavercomb.
Oh,
whoever wins this wins the tie. And will it be Hyde United or FC United of Manchester going through to the semi-final of the Manchester Premier Cup? He looks left. He looks right. Gets a signal from the referee. Takes a deep puff of his cheeks. Steps up. One step, two, step, three. Oh, God, I scored! Lavercomb's missed it. Ha! There. FC out. Dumped out of the Manchester Premier Cup by the mighty Hyde United.
You did that so well. I was slightly sad that FC United had been knocked out. Even though it wasn't real. I was like, oh, maybe next year we'll go to Boundary Park. Right, anyway, that's the top end of the table. Let's go down to the bottom end now. Let's just talk about Grantham. I saw Grantham on Saturday and I'm surprised. I'm very, very surprised. Firstly, that they haven't won at home this season and they are where they are. That was a brilliant performance they put in on Saturday. They followed that with a 1-1 draw against Lancaster, which is not easy to do. Can they do it? It's 6 points.
Yeah. Yeah, they really, really can do it. And the former teams above them suggest that they can catch them up pretty quickly as well if results go their way, Ben. But like, as you say, they've got to start picking up those wins at home now. I mean, no wins from 14 at the South Stephen Stadium. It's bizarre. Normally, it's their fortress, isn't it?
I know exactly where their first win at home is going to come from. And it's going to be that team in sixth that we mentioned once or twice that I go and watch home and away, because they always beat Whitby at Grantham Bar in 1 year that I can remember. So they're going to get one win on the board at home this year.
Simo, it's a question I always ask. I've got Aaron Flanagan in my mind going, nothing changes about this show. Would you rather have the points on the board or the games in hand?
Go on, Ben.
It's a question I'm asking to you instead of Cal McCauley and Dave Cook. Because, you'd rather have the games in hand, wouldn't you? But that quickly runs out.
The answer to that question is it depends who your games in hand are against. Now, one of Witten's games in hand was South Shields away. So the answer to your question would be, of course, you'd rather have the points on the board because it's a game that you don't have high expectations of getting anything from. I think what I would say and what Carl would say if he was here now, is their destiny remains in their hands. So I suppose, yes, you're going to say the games in hand could weigh very significantly because at the moment, Witten aren't relying on anybody else. If they want to stay in this league, they can do it on their own terms. That said, they've not won any of the past eight matches. So that needs to change pretty quickly. The other thing I would add is that though those eight are strung across about 3.5 months because of COVID and the weather and all the different things. So it's a slightly misleading statistic because you can cut it in half really with the enforced gap that they had. January was a horrendous month in terms of the fixtures. They played three of the top four teams in the league. The one thing I would say that's really encouraging is they've got better each week. They're not getting worse, they're getting better. So I would expect that win to come soon, but they do need it. And I've forgotten what it's like to be in this position in the league. It's like death by a thousand cuts when you're looking at the other results and kind of Ashton nicking a win last night and you're kind of grimacing at that. And then Nantwich twice in the past couple of weeks have come from 2-0 down to get a draw. So you're kind of grimacing at that. But it's in their hands and that's the most you can ask for at the moment.
Burke, can I ask you a question?
Hello. Oh, go on then.
As the follower of a team currently sitting 19th on 28 points, having played three games more than Witten and two games more than Nantwich, would you rather have the points on the board or the games in hand?
At the moment, yeah, I'd rather have the points on the board. I mean, I'd rather be fourth from bottom and third from bottom or second from bottom with the games in hand. Yes, just about. But that said, Hyde's form has been poor in the last little while. We had a great run where we were seven games unbeaten and then things just kind of tumbled to pieces a little bit in the new year. We lost 4-1 against Mickleover on New Year's Day. and just didn't really recover. Very unlucky to lose against Matlock when, well, decisions went against us, shall we say. And then again against Whitby, we were dominant in the first hour of that game and just threw it away in the last half hour. Stopped playing football, couldn't string two passes together. It was a total capitulation. It's been a long time since I've come away from a football match going, how on earth did that happen? For a team being so in control to being so just looking like they were out of control of their entire bodies, it was odd. But Hyde can pull themselves out of it. We've got a lot of quality in that side. We're missing a couple of players along with long-term injuries now, but they'll have to be replaced. And we've got a couple of loanees coming as well who are filling places. But we're doing this without having an out-and-out centre-forward. We're doing it without having a winger. We've got wide midfielders, but we don't have the cut and thrust that you'd expect from a winger whose job it is to hug the touchline and just launch themselves down the flanks. It's going to be an interesting run in this. It really is. We play everybody around us in the next couple of months, and I'm sort of relishing it. I don't know why.
Well, you masochist.
No, I think it's still horrible, isn't it? But it is intriguing because I don't know what the points tally is everyone should be aiming for, because you just get the impression Witten and Nantwich and Grantham are capable. And then it's then a question of who's not in form at that time, isn't it? And, you know, have the teams above them done enough to get themselves clear of that at that point?
Well, that's it as well. Mickleover could get dragged straight back down into it. Gainsborough, if they lose their home form and the away form continues to be dreadful, then they're certainly not away from it yet. And can you make an argument for Basford getting dragged in as well? They're on 36 points, but find it difficult to pick up the wins at the moment. So, yeah, there's a lot of permutations here. And I don't think for a second that the bottom three now will be what we see come the end of April.
How high do you think it goes, Paul, the nerves? Basford, it's 12 points, isn't it? I mean, that's a decent buffer, isn't it, at this stage?
Yeah, I don't think Basford, Radcliffe, Stirling Bridge want to be too worried. I think it goes as high as probably Gainsborough now. And it comes back to points on the board, games in hand, etc., etc. But obviously, Ashton have a couple of games in hand as well, don't they, on Gainsborough. So they've got a chance to pull away. A couple of games in hand on the teams above them. I think it's from sort of 17th to 22nd.
James, I'm just thinking about Gainsborough, Mickleover. Mickleover had a phenomenal couple of games, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago. Really, really important victories over Witten and Nantwich. And Gainsborough can always, always rely on the home form. So what do you think about their chances of pulling themselves away at this point, maybe?
The big thing for Mickleover at the moment is they've run out of games against sides at the bottom end of the table. They've only got to play Gainsborough at Gainsborough towards the end of the season. The other sides around them have got to play Nantwich, we've got to play Witten again. I think we've three or four fixtures against each other. So again, you know for a fact, teams behind you are going to pick up points. So Mickleover need to start beating them sides up the top table, because Gainsborough is not until April, if I remember rightly. But Gainsborough have recruited well in the last couple of weeks, playing good football. Ashton United are picking up form at the right time at the moment too. So it's getting interesting down that bottom end of the table. I agree. I think the likes of Radcliffe, Stalybridge, Basford, one or two wins and they pretty much are safe.
Mickleover, who I have seen in the past couple of weeks, haven't they done exactly what they're meant to have done, which is beat everyone who's a direct rival? Yes. You can make a case for them to be team of the month. They've won all three games and they've beaten Hyde, Nantwich and Witten. It's an absolute dream month. They've done what they needed to do, which was inflict damage on who's around them.
Ben, you know, at the end of the Royal Rumble, yes, and whoever's won points to the sign for WrestleMania, which, yes, has just come down from the yes, ceiling of the arena.
Unless, well, it was Ric Flair in 92, he just got the belt, didn't he, and just watched.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Woo!
Got to be fair to Flair.
Can we just trail now, Saturday the 19th of March?
What's happening because on Saturday the 19th of March, Berker?
It's 6 points a day. It's Gainsborough versus Nantwich. It's Hyde United versus Witten Albion. It's moving day in the Northern Premier League. And I'm very excited for it. I know it's about 7 weeks off, but it's going to be...
Oh, no.
I'm pointing. I'm pointing to the sign for the 19th of March.
Our social media officer is on the call, and he's already written that down. It's on a post-it note on his wall right now. Isn't it, James?
Moving.
NPL Premier Division. Moving day. It's there.
Both games called off.
Best slate plans and all that. Just finally, Simon, do you agree about what Mickleover have done? And Gainsborough being able to rely on that home form and Ashton with the games in hand, that they might be able to do enough in the coming weeks to get themselves away?
They've all still got work to do. I think it does go up to Ashton at the moment. Ashton have picked up, that was a really important win for them last night, and the games in hand suggest that they've manoeuvred themselves into a good position, but they've still got work to do. Occasionally, we do see somebody drop like a stone. I'm not quite sure there's a candidate for that at the moment, although Basford's slide is alarming. They may just about have done enough work already, but want to keep an eye on if that run carries on for much longer.
Basically, I've been a bit boost that Chris is going to stay on for another season, it seems. Because obviously we're losing a couple of players, trying to stable the ship a little bit. He said, yeah, I'll stay for one more year to try and make sure everything's fine. And then if things improve, there's opportunity for him to maybe stay on a bit further. So that's a big boost there for Basford this week.
That's our look at the league table. There's a long way to go. It's only January. The first Saturday matches of February are looming. Right, dead quick, in alphabetical order. Ashton United against Bamber Bridge. Thoughts on this one? Big game for both, really. Simo?
It's got draw written all over it.
Yeah, Birker. Draw.
Draw.
One goal win for Ashton United.
Okay. And James?
I think Ashton could sneak it low, really.
Okay. Atherton Coles against Gainsborough Trinity. A win for Atherton Coles would see them on 40 points, and then everything we've said about mid-table land goes out the window for Atherton Coles all of a sudden. And it's quite possible they might win that game.
They will win that game.
And then they're back in the playoff race?
No.
They'll have a lovely Saturday night, though.
I'll come back to this game. Buxton against South Shields, that'll be the last one. FC United against Witton Albion. Who should I go to for this one? Paul Connolly is an independent, impartial-minded person.
Oh, for a piece. It could well be four apiece, let's be honest.
Yeah. Thank you. Right.
Callum Saunders before an FC just conceding four terrible goals.
Matt Lockdown against Lancaster City. Berkey, that's a must win, really, for Matt Lock, especially with Buxton and South Shields playing each other.
Yeah, going to be a slugfest, but I'm going Matt Lock just.
Morpeth Town against Nantwich Town. That's a tough one, isn't it, for Nantwich?
Yeah.
But Morpeth have got a big FA Trophy game coming up, so maybe they might take their eye off the ball.
The fact they've got South Shields on the Tuesday night as well, I think that's a game Morpeth might rest a few players for, and I can see a draw potentially.
No, they can't afford to rest people.
Morpeth battered them.
There you go.
Radcliffe against Basford United.
Seems Radcliffe come on and play football for 45 minutes in the last couple of games, and that's how we've lost game matches. Draw.
Draw, okay. Scarborough against Hyde. I can't go to Paul. Ooh. I can't go to Birke. Simo.
Yeah.
As our Sue Gray on this call for this tie, what's your thoughts?
Well, I must declare an interest. I have a vested interest in Hyde losing that game. Sorry, Burke.
James, you're our Sue Gray for this fixture here. What's your thoughts?
I can see Scarborough winning this 2-0.
Paul, Stafford Rangers against Whitby Town.
The legs will be in Whitby. I think one apiece.
It's interesting, that one, isn't it? Because Stafford's home form hasn't been the best, but you do think a win for Stafford would be pretty big at this stage. But we'll wait and see.
Listen, I'll take one apiece every single day of the week on that game, 100%.
Stalybridge Celtic against Mickleover.
Home win.
Home win.
Yeah.
Home win. Away win.
Warrington against Grantham Town.
Surely home.
Come on, Grantham.
Home win.
Which is the first time I've ever said that in my life, so, you know.
I've left two fixtures to last. Let's go with the big one. FC United against Witton Albion. Simo.
I thought we'd already done this one.
No, I called it 4-4, didn't I?
To be honest, lads, I'm still not over the fact we got knocked out of the Manchester Premier Cup by Hyde United on penalties. right, last one. Buxton against South Shields. Huge, huge game. It's a must win, isn't it, for Buxton if they're gonna contest for the title? Or is that too dramatic at this stage to say?
No, I agree with you there. They got to win that game just to have any sort of chance, I think.
I would disagree there, but obviously that would obviously depend on what Matlock do at the weekend, doesn't it?
Even if Buxton lose this game on Saturday and they weren't playing against South Shields, for instance, I could see them maybe hauling back a 10-point deficit against Matlock. I don't see them hauling back a 7-point deficit against South Shields with two games. Well, with South Shields having two games in hand, I just think that'd be a step too far.
I'll tell you
what. But they're nailed on for the playoffs, minimum.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, we're expecting a big crowd last Saturday at Mariners Park, weren't we, for South Shields Matlock. That's going to be a big crowd at Buxton this weekend, I think. A big weekend to come, but there's big weekends all over the place. There's also Tuesday night games as well, and a packed Tuesday coming up, which you can find out more on the npl.co.uk, of course. Who was talking then?
I was just saying the focal point of that Tuesday night, Scarborough versus Whitby.
Scarborough versus Whitby.
El Clasicoast.
The El Clasicoast. Morpeth against South Shields is pretty big too. There's a Cheshire derby, Warrington against Nantwich.
Will Berkey turn up at Radcliffe on Tuesday?
Of course I'll be there. Yeah, I'm being taken out of the tea by someone.
An away game for Berkey as well that he'll be attending. So big Tuesday night as well as a big weekend. But we'll be back next month to look back at all these results coming up in February. But it's certainly very, very intriguing. Simo, have you ever known a season like this? Here we go.
Yeah.
Good.
Me too, to be fair. There's been loads of them.
We always want a title race. We've seen some brilliant teams who kind of run away with titles. It's been great to admire them, but you want it to be alive for as long as possible. And as we discussed tonight, there's at least half a dozen teams battling against relegation, maybe one or two more. And the race for the playoffs is wide, wide open. And maybe the number of teams in the title race is narrowed slightly since we were last together. But what you want is something riding on nearly all the games. And we've definitely got that at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it for January's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. I've got a couple of candidates for naming the show. I'm going to go with Form is Temporary as the name of this month's show. But a big thank you to Berkey for 26-0 for joining us.
Cheers, man.
Big thank you to James Hayes.
No problem, man. Thank you.
Paul Connolly from Coastal County Radio, making it two shows on the bounce. Well done, Paul.
Cheers, Ben.
And a big thank you to Simo as well. We'll catch up on Saturday, my friend.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the 4-all draw.
And wherever you're going this weekend, dear listener, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.